freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We didn't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. The only way they can inherit the freedom we have known is if we fight for it, protect it, defend it, and then hand it to them with the well-taught lessons of how they in their lifetime must do the same. And if you and I don't do this, then you and I may well spend our sunset years telling our children and our children's children what it once was like in America when men were free.
Welcome back, everyone, to Patriot Coalition Live. I'm Jason Marocek. Thanks for joining us today. Our goal is to create a timeless resource to teach about the U.S. Constitution and the proper role of government, the importance of America's Judeo-Christian heritage, and how to defend against threats to our republic. But before we get into today's topic, I want to talk to you about something that you can do today to begin rooting out one of the major sources of corruption in America. This source of corruption is what we call the three-headed beast: mainstream media, big tech, and big business. These mega corporations are actively undermining our liberties through censorship, canceling, and destroying livelihoods because they don't like dissent, and they don't like people who share truths which threaten their power. Earlier this year, Google, Apple, Amazon Web Services, they all canceled Parler or stopped giving access to Parler. Social media platforms like Facebook and Twitter regularly suspend accounts when they don't like their posts. So why continue to send your money to Amazon when they are canceling and censoring those who stand up for liberty, when you can spend your hard-earned money with freedom-loving companies who share your values and your principles? ConservativeEconomy.com has tons of companies to shop from with over 3,100 categories of products, with more being added every week. So chances are you will find what you're looking for at ConservativeEconomy.com. If you shop at a business that you love and you think that business would be a great fit for conservativeeconomy.com, go to our contact page and let us know. Or if you own a business, go to the Sell Here link at conservativeeconomy.com and tell us about your business. Again, that website is conservativeeconomy.com. Please check us out today. Okay, let's get into today's episode. So today's episode, the title is Article 1, Section 8, Limited Powers of Congress. And this is part four of this series in Article 1, Section 8. As a quick review, Article 1 is all about Congress. So Article 1, Section 8 describes the limited powers of Congress. Today, we're talking about Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 8 through 10. Now, remember that the temporary loan of authority that we the people give to Congress to create laws that we then must all live by is one of the most sacred authorities we can entrust to them, meaning to entrust to Congress. Therefore, the part of the Constitution where we define what those powers are, it has to be one of the most important sections in this brilliant document. This impacts just about every aspect of our lives. In fact, I dare you to try to think of an aspect of your life that is not impacted by national legislation, usually in a bad way, and accomplished without regard to the authority that we the people granted to Congress. It's one of the most abused sections in the entire Constitution. Okay, so let's get into those clauses. Let's start with Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8. And it says, quote, "The Congress shall have power to promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries." Okay, so in short, this is about giving copyrights and patents to people. And it tells us, and a lot of times this will be misconstrued, this clause will be misconstrued because of the clause that says to promote the progress of science and useful arts. Some of our lawmakers think that that is just a carte blanche authority to spend money and create laws in whatever way they want to in the name of science and art. So let's break it down a little bit. And like most of the clauses here, it's about the grammar that's in it. The purpose of this clause, it says, to promote the progress of science and useful arts. That's the purpose. But the power that the Congress has is to secure for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. So this is one of those, I'll say, rare parts of the Constitution that actually gives the purpose for the authority that it is given. The Second Amendment is another one, and we'll cover that when we get to the amendments. But this one tells us the whole purpose is to promote the progress of science and useful arts. How is Congress authorized to do that? To secure for limited times to authors and inventors the exclusive right of their respective writings and discoveries. Okay. So what is not in this clause? Well, originally in the conventional, the Constitutional Convention, they proposed that the language of this would say to encourage by proper premiums and provisions the advancement of useful knowledge and discoveries. So it's interesting there, by proper premium. So the premium, the definition of premium in that context from that time is something given to invite a loan or a bargain. So what they were proposing is to invite a loan or a bargain to give a premium to somebody in order to advance the useful knowledge and discoveries. That was a proposal in the Constitutional Convention. So they wanted the central government to be able to spend money on the advancement of science, but this proposal was not approved. So that is not in the Constitution, even though that today lawmakers seem to pretend like it is, that they can give loans and grants and everything that they want to science and useful arts. It's not the case. That's the purpose, but the authority, the specific authority they were granted was just to give patents and copyrights. Okay. So that was Clause 8. Clause 9 of Article 1, Section 8 says, quote, Congress shall have power to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. Okay, so let's just talk about two of those words in there, constitute and tribunal. Constitute, and I'm pulling from Samuel Johnson's 1755 dictionary. It says to make a thing what it is or to establish. Constitute means to make a thing what it is or to establish. All right, so we are making a tribunal inferior to the Supreme Court. A tribunal is a court of justice, simple as that. So this clause in the Constitution gives Congress the authority to create courts of justice that are inferior to the Supreme Court. And the reason why they say inferior to the Supreme Court is because the Supreme Court is constituted or made in Article 3 of the Constitution, okay? So Congress essentially gets to create all the federal courts in the United States except for SCOTUS, or Supreme Court of the United States. So this means that they can determine how many courts there are, what their jurisdictions are, what their rules are, and just about everything else about those courts except for the actual appointments of the justices, which is reserved for the president in Article 2, Section 2, and we'll get to that later on in this study. Okay, so that's Clause 9, to constitute tribunals inferior to the Supreme Court. And finally for today, we have Clause 10. Clause 10 says, quote, the Congress shall have power to define and punish piracies and felonies committed on the high seas and offenses against the law of nations. Okay, so there's a couple of terms of art in here, meaning that there are things that were understood in the day to mean certain things, right? So let's go to the discussion in the Constitutional Convention first. When they were originally proposing this clause, there was also the word punish in front of offenses. So in other words, they wanted to define and punish piracies and felonies and punish offenses against the law of nations. And they decided to strike that word out so that Congress can specifically define what those offenses are and determine the punishments, because it made it sound like it was two different sentences, define and punish piracies and felonies, but only punish offenses against the law of nations. And they took the word punish out so that define and punish also applied to the law of nations, the offenses against the law of nations. Okay, so the whole purpose then was to make sure that they could define what those offenses were in the law of nations. So you remember our last episode, we talked about naturalizing citizens and securing the border, which are two wholly and separate authorities. We discussed that the authority to naturalize aliens, which is the proper term that is used for someone who does not owe allegiance to the United States and they're from a foreign nation. So the authority to naturalize aliens is derived from Article 1, Section 8, Clause 4, which we have talked about. But the authority to actually enforce the border actually flows from this clause, Clause 10 in Article 1, Section 8. And that's because it is referring to the law of nations. So that begs the question, what is the law of nations? And you remember it says the offenses against the law of nations. So what is that law of nations? So at the time, it was for a while, it was generally held that the set of laws or principles that all civilized nations subscribe to was the law of nations. But then in 1758, a man named Amir de Vatel collected all of these principles or laws and wrote them down in his work that is cleverly named, you guessed it, the Law of Nations. So the delegates to the Constitutional Convention, they ultimately decided that the Law of Nations could be held as kind of vague. It could be regarded as vague as people began to interpret the Constitution. And so they authorized Congress to define how those laws were interpreted in America. They, or not even interpreted, they defined what those laws were by codifying them. And that is an authority that the Constitution granted to Congress to be able to define what those the law of nations was and be able to punish them. So getting back to this concept of the law of nations is one of those things that authorizes us to enforce our border and to have laws about border enforcement. I'm going to read a relevant section from Vattel's Law of Nations. But first, let's recall who is the sovereign in America. We the people are sovereign. We are the ones from whom all political power flow, and it is our will that the Constitution is codifying and creating these elements of government that we have chosen to be allowed to govern us, right? So we the people are the sovereign in America. So if you need a refresher on this, you can go back and listen to episode 9. Okay, so from Vattel's Law of Nations, quote, "The sovereign," again, we the people, "may forbid," meaning through our elected officials, "the entrance of his territory either to foreigners in general or in particular cases or to certain persons or for certain particular purposes, according as he may think it advantageous to the state. There is nothing in all this that does not flow from the rights of domain and sovereignty. Everyone is obliged to pay respect to the prohibition," meaning to enter a country, "and whoever dares to violate it incurs the penalty decreed to render it effectual. But the prohibition ought to be known as well as the penalty annexed to disobedience. Those who are ignorant of it ought to be informed of it when they approach to enter the country. It was salutary," meaning it contributed to a beneficial purpose. "It was salutary to the nation without violating the rights of any individual or even the duties of humanity, which permit us, in case of competition, to prefer ourselves to others." Meaning, look, we know who we want in this country, and that's an end quote. And so we know who we want in this country, and we are fully authorized by the Law of Nations, common sense even, to decide who comes in our country or not. That's what we call a sovereign border. So this passage, again, think about this. This was written in 1758, well before the War of Independence, well before we set up our nation and created the Constitution. These are things that today, if you listen to news broadcasts or read stories, that it is inhumane of us, or we're not compassionate if we are not letting everybody across our border that wants to come here. Well, that's not the way it's been for generations and centuries. You know, again, Vattel wrote the Law of Nations in 1758, but it was a generally accepted group of principles and laws that all nations abided by. So this is nothing new. So don't let people tell you that we are being uncompassionate if we don't allow anybody who wants to come here to cross our border. It was regularly held and generally accepted that we are allowed to enforce our borders. So getting back to the Constitution in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, that clause authorizes Congress to define what this law means in our statutes, in our federal statutes. And so we do. We have laws that pertain to, in this particular case, against entering the country illegally. And those, I think, are in Title 8 United States Code, somewhere around Section 1324. So in America, we the people have, through the Constitution, we have authorized Congress in Article 1, Section 8, Clause 10, to make laws concerning the crossing of our sovereign border. We have also authorized the president to be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces to defend our liberties, which includes protecting us against invasion, which is another section we'll talk about when we get to Article 4, Section 4. Okay. So that covers the clauses I wanted to today. Just as a quick recap, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8 gives Congress the authority to grant copyrights and patents, but not to spend our hard-earned tax dollars on anything that resembles science or art. Clause 9 authorizes Congress to create federal court systems subordinate to the Supreme Court of the United States. And then Clause 10 gives Congress the authority to define and punish piracy and felonies at sea. And those are pretty self-explanatory. We didn't really cover those, but piracy is generally known what it is. Felonies, you know, we have defined those felonies at sea, and to make laws to punish offenses against the law of nations, which includes, as we talked about, against illegal aliens who cross our border. Okay, so once again, if you know what our Congress is and isn't allowed to do, you can hold them accountable and articulate to them how they should be honoring their oath of office, and if necessary, why you are no longer supporting them. Additionally, you can properly vet candidates, if you know these things, for office, based on their understanding of the proper role of government and their responsibilities. So having the knowledge is one thing, but actually putting it into practice is another. So I'm hoping that as you're learning these things, you are beginning to bring them up in conversations about these topics. And hopefully, at some point, you will then start calling on your elected representatives to make sure that they understand what these mean and that they aren't just allowed to have carte blanche authority to, let's say, give a grant to a big art center or a or give a grant to some sort of scientific study to understand more about the butterfly patterns, you know, migration patterns. Those things are not authorized for our Congress to write bills about, let alone spend our money about, which comes from writing bills. Okay, so that wraps it up for today. Again, if you would like to support us, please go to patriotcoalitionlive.com/support. Your support is a big help. If you are not already a regular subscriber, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, at places like iHeartRadio and Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. Okay, so thanks again, everyone. We'll see you here next time. Take care.